Welcome to SCOTUSCast. Who is the Legislature Edition? Thank you for tuning in. On March 2, 2015, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Arizona State Legislature v. Arizona Independent Redistricting Commission. The first question in this case is whether Arizona's reliance on a commission to draw up congressional districts rather than its state legislature violates the Elections Clause of the United States Constitution as well as Title II of the U.S. Code. The second question is whether the Arizona legislature has standing to file suit against the commission. To discuss the case, we have Derek Mueller, who is an associate professor of law at the Pepperdine University School of Law. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Mueller.
I'm here to discuss Arizona State Legislature versus Arizona Independent Redistricting Commission. And the oral argument was unusually rich, in my view, and fairly nuanced in a number of areas, but I'll try to highlight some of the most salient points. What does the word legislature mean? It may seem like a straightforward question, but in the case of redrawing congressional districts in Arizona, the query is worthy of Supreme Court intervention and resolution in this dispute. After each census, the districts for state legislatures and for Congress must be redrawn to ensure that an equal number of people live in each district. Typically, and historically, the state legislature draws those districts. State legislatures, of course, are often incentivized to protect themselves in redistricting, and they frequently redraw lines to protect incumbents in Congress and for themselves. The party controlling the legislature also often draws lines to maximize the influence of its own members. This practice is often known as gerrymandering, named after Governor Elbridge Gerry of Massachusetts when the legislature drew maps that created districts to protect his party in such a way that a newspaper critiqued the shapes as something like a salamander. And it offends some because of its partisan impact and this incumbency entrenchment that comes along with it. There has been a movement in some states to parcel at least some of this redistricting responsibility to independent commissions, either nonpartisan or bipartisan, sometimes run by citizens. In 2000, Arizonans enacted Proposition 106, a ballot initiative, and created an independent commission for redistricting congressional and state legislative districts. The commission was designed, among other reasons, to create electorally competitive districts without regard to incumbents or candidates. The Arizona legislature could nominally participate in the process, but it holds no power or control in drawing the lines. The commission drew the lines after the 2010 census, but the Arizona legislature sued, arguing that it, not the commission, has the power to draw congressional districts. Here's the heart of the constitutional dispute. Arizona did not challenge the commission's power to redraw state legislative districts, only congressional districts. That's because it cites Article 1, Section 4, Clause 1 of the United States Constitution, often known as the Elections Clause. It provides the times, places, and manner of holding elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. But the Congress may at any time, by law, make or alter such regulations, except as to the places of choosing senators. The Arizona State Legislature argues that the commission has seized redistricting power through a ballot initiative, and the Arizona legislature must retain at least some power to draw congressional districts. Because the Independent Redistricting Commission is not the legislature, the law must fall. There are a couple of potential ways for the court to avoid addressing this issue on the merits, but neither seemed particularly attractive to the justices at oral argument. It could have concluded that the Arizona legislature lacks the power to bring the lawsuit, but the justices seemed inclined to think that here, where the legislature has been cut out of the process by law, it has standing to sue. The court could also interpret an obscure federal law in a manner to avoid the constitutional dispute in the redistricting context. The court, led by Chief Justice Roberts at oral argument, had difficulty discerning how that law might apply in this case. Instead, the case presents a rare opportunity for the Supreme Court to consider the meaning of a term in the Constitution with little baggage from its own precedent. There are only a couple of cases on tangential matters decided nearly 100 years ago, but it turns out those cases might have some significance. More on that in a moment. The Arizona legislature's argument has textual and historical support. Legislature, after all, probably meant legislature. Indeed, at oral argument, members of the court, led by Justices Scalia and Alito, noted that the word legislature pretty clearly means the lawmaking body elected by the people. A state, Justice Scalia mused, couldn't simply decide that its courts were the legislature for purposes of the Constitution. And Justice Alito walked through a series of other provisions in the Constitution that used the term legislature in a fairly unambiguous way. For instance, the state legislature elected senators prior to the 17th Amendment. It ratifies constitutional amendments. It consents to carving out land in the state to make another state, and so on. Why should legislature in this context mean anything else? There's an important nuance in this case that Paul Clement, on behalf of the Arizona legislature, tried valiantly to preserve. The issue is not specifically whether a ballot initiative could create a redistricting commission. He noted that the issue would be the same in this case, whether it happened by a ballot initiative or by executive fiat. And so the problem is that the commission that was created permanently and totally divested the legislature of any power to draw districts. That total divestment is the problem, not the means by which the divestment took place. When the legislature is, quote, completely cut out, it's a problem. He further noted that a permanent delegation of authority to this commission, even if sanctioned by the state legislature, would be just as problematic. Now, there are a couple of older cases more on point in this area. One is a 1916 case, Ohio versus Hildebrandt, when Ohio passed redistricting and the people disapproved by referendum. The second is Smiley versus Holm, a 1932 case in which the governor vetoed a redistricting law. The Supreme Court, in both cases, upheld the exercise of the referendum and veto. That is, the legislature can go about its lawmaking process, but the Constitution does not somehow insulate the legislature from the remainder of the lawmaking apparatus of the state. The Arizona legislature is certainly in a more extreme position than in either case, because the proposition totally divested its power, absent, perhaps, moving for another initiative to repeal Proposition 106. Mr. Clement emphasized that this case, the extreme case, is the one where the Elections Clause should hold sway. But just as Kagan was worried about the, quote, purity of the originalist argument that a legislature means a legislature, unquote, if cases like Hildebrandt and Smiley stand. But it was the Arizona legislature's argument that emphasized that the lawmaking process and one-time delegations of authority are different than a total divestment. The state has laws in place that allow for vetoes of the legislature's decision, or more minimally, perhaps a 30-day window for public comment on redistricting. Those processes, while certainly restraints upon the legislature, don't divest the legislature of its power in its totality. It may cabinet at times, or the legislature might have to go back to the drawing board and start again, but it does not completely remove the legislature from the process. Whether that distinction persuades a majority of the court is to be determined. There were three principal challenges, apart from this distinction about the purity of the originalist argument, that justices were challenging Mr. Clement and the Arizona legislature on. The first arrived from a rather functionalist view of the word legislature. The argument goes something like this. The word is a chameleon, which adapts with each clause. In one part of the Constitution, it means an electoral body. In another place, it means the ratifying body. And in this place, it means a lawmaking body. And the lawmaking body means that the people sometimes can do that, and sometimes they can give that power over to a redistricting commission. Justice Breyer seemed inclined to think that this argument would mean that the people, just as much as the legislature, could be involved in this process, and that the redistricting commission could exist pursuant to the people's lawmaking power. But Justice Scalia and others emphasize that this belies the word legislature, belies distinctions made between the people and the legislature made elsewhere throughout the Constitution. For instance, that the people elected members of the House, whereas the legislature elected senators prior to the 17th Amendment. Further, it would assume that the people can, on a permanent basis, delegate this authority over to an independent redistricting commission. The second concern is a worry about some limiting principle, which seemed to drive Justice Kagan's concerns. If legislature means legislature, can the governor veto an election bill? That is, are cases like Hillebrandt and Smiley old, bad law? Can an administrative agency regulate an election? Can a court interpret an election law? Mr. Clement would have reserved many of those questions for another day, but Justice Kagan seemed inclined to think that those questions were so challenging that perhaps the court should simply throw up its hands and cede the entire discussion to the states. But to do so, admittedly, would mean there's little left of the word legislature in the Elections Clause and little place left for the courts in this process. The third, and perhaps most discussed surrounding the oral argument, occasionally in the argument itself, is a consequentialist concern. The people, after all, have been amending election laws by ballot initiatives in many states for decades. If Arizona's independent redistricting commission falls, other redistricting commissions might fall too. But as noted in argument, few, if any, commissions totally deprive the legislature of any role in the redistricting process. Many commissions are advisory or submit maps that the legislature has the final say on. And it may impact not just redistricting commissions. California's top two primary system, Oregon's vote-by-mail system, Mississippi's voter identification law, and so on. These are all ballot measures that might be threatened if the legislature has been totally divested of its power to regulate the times, places, and manner of federal elections. This consequentialist concern may worry members of the court, and indeed often seems to drive judicial decision-making in high-stakes litigation. But how the court crafts its ultimate rule in this case, and what role is left for legislatures in regulating elections or in independent redistricting commissions acting in the future, will be of great interest when the opinion is handed down later this summer. This is Derek Muller at Pepperdine University School of Law. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.